Okay. Well, can I get your full name, the name that you would have used when you entered the Army, Grenadiers?
John Clark.
John Clark,
yes.
And
John Paul Clark.
Were you from Winnipeg?
Oh, yes. I was born in Winnipeg. Yeah.
And did you enlist in the Grenadiers?
Yes, in 39.
In 1939?
Yeah.
And you were going to school in Winnipeg?
Yes.
High school? Or?
No, I went to the Pinkham School.
Pinkham School?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
Yeah, oh, it's on Ross.
On Ross Avenue?
Well, just the other side of Sherbrooke.
Oh, yeah. And did you work after school, or did you go right into the Army?
Oh, no, I worked for a few years. Yeah, various jobs. Worked about a year as a plumber and tinsmith's helper, you know, learning the trade. And
mm-hmm.
I also drove a truck for two or three years for A.A. Martin and Sons. They're not in business anymore, but...
Was that a trucking firm?
Well, advertising company, yeah. And...
go ahead.
Before that, of course, I delivered groceries, you know. Years ago, all the grocery stores had people to deliver their groceries for them, which they don't do that anymore, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, you enlisted in the Grenadiers. I was wondering if the war had started at that period.
The war had started, it was the same week that I enlisted, after the war started.
I was wondering if you had any friends that were going into the Grenadiers at that time, or into the Army.
No, not really. I went with two or three of the fellas from work, and I was the only one that joined up.
I was just wondering why you maybe joined the Army at that time. Was it because of the war, impending war in Europe? Were you tired of working? Or?
Well, I don't really know. I think I was kind of bored with life and wanted a little action, you know. And seemed like a good opportunity.
Can you tell me anything about the enlistment, where you went for the enlistment? Or anybody you talked to at that time? Did you go by yourself or did you go with anyone else?
Well, like I say, I went with three other fellows from work. They were driving with me at the same time, and I was the only one that went in and joined. But that was at... Minto Armories. Yeah. Well, I joined, and that was it.
Did you do any training here in Winnipeg?
Oh, yes. I think about a year. Close to a year.
What kind of training was it?
Well, there was the usual parade square, you know, and the Grenadiers did a lot of parade square and drill and operation. We were very good.
I know some of the men were attached to worked with Vickers machine guns.
It was a Vickers machine gun outfit. To begin with, we did train with Vickers machine guns. We could take them apart and put them together, blindfolded, you know, and this and that.
And this is what you learned to do? You were in a...
Yeah.
Can you remember what regiment you were in?
With company.
Oh, company.
Oh, yeah.
Should,
yeah. D company.
D company.
Yeah.
And was there a what platoon? Do you remember? Oh, it's a long time ago. I guess it doesn't really make any difference.
Not really. I think maybe 4 platoon. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I was attached to the Army Service Corps for a while, too, because they hadn't enlisted yet. And
the Army Service Corps?
The Army Service Corps, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Well, they deliver rations. They drive ambulances.
The Army Service Corps?
The Army Service Corps, yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Well, they deliver rations. They drive ambulances. All this stuff, you know.
Well, like transport.
Transport, yeah.
And this was with the Grenadiers.
Well, I was with the Grenadiers, but I was attached to them for a while because they didn't have any men. They weren't mobilized yet. You see.
All right.
It was right at the beginning of the war.
Right.
Yeah.
Well. Did you go to Jamaica when the Grenadiers went, or were you still attached to the...
No, I went to Jamaica, but I stopped off. The whole regiment didn't go to Jamaica right away. One company stopped off at Bermuda. I stopped off there. And then after a while, we all went to Jamaica. Yeah.
Well, did you undergo any training when you were in Jamaica?
Well, some of them did, but it was mostly... guard duty on the prison camp and whatnot, like that. That's where I was attached to the prison camp staff.
Do you remember any training at all that you underwent personally?
In Jamaica?
Mm-hmm.
Not too much. There was a little bit of machine gun training and whatnot, but you didn't have time there. Too much guard duty, and like they had to put on a guard on their steady all the time, you see.
Well, as I understand it, the Grenadiers were trained as a machine gun regiment primarily, and they were very good.
That's right, yeah.
Guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, sometime in Jamaica or on the way back, they were transferred to an infantry for garrison duty. Is that correct? They were trained for machine guns.
They were on garrison duty in Jamaica.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and they were to go to Hong Kong.
The same sort of thing, yeah.
As a garrison,
yeah,
right?
A garrison.
Right. To
regiment.
Do garrison duty.
Yeah.
Right. Well, when you came back to Winnipeg from Jamaica, did you undergo any more training of any kind?
No, we weren't here long enough.
Did you know you were going to Hong Kong?
No. We didn't even know till we got there, practically there.
You didn't?
No.
Well, can you tell me much about when you came back from Jamaica? What did you do when you came to Winnipeg?
Well, we came back from Jamaica and we got some leave. We were stationed in the Robinson building, which isn't there anymore. And then they took in some new recruits to replace some of the ones that were let out for various reasons, and re-equipped, and then we went to China.
Do you remember how you were re-equipped? What kind of equipment?
Oh, just new uniforms, and that's about all.
Did you take any guns with you at that time? Do you remember if you took a rifle?
We always took our rifle with us everywhere we went. Yeah.
And you'd, what, take a kit bag, I suppose?
Oh, yeah.
With a few things in?
Oh, yeah, sure. All your clothing and equipment, that's all that you had with you. That stuff you carried all the time with you.
Well, did you know where you were going when you came back to Winnipeg? Did they say anything to you? You came back and you were given leave.
Oh, no, we didn't know. No. They kept that pretty well a secret, you know.
Well, you must have been called back to the barracks or something. Did they say anything to you, or did they just put you on
the train? Oh, no, well, no, we were told a day or two before that we were going. I believe we even knew we were going to Vancouver to get on the boat, but we didn't know where we were going, you know.
Did you have any family here at that time?
Oh, yeah, sure. My mother and father and my wife. And
well, you remember much about the train trip out to Vancouver? I mean, you remember any things that happened on the train?
Well, it was just a train trip, you know. There was nothing unusual about it.
You got to Vancouver?
Yeah.
And did you stay there any length of time, or did you?
No, we got, well, yeah, well, we got on the boat right away, mind you.
Right away?
Yeah. But it didn't pull out right away. I can't remember how long it was, but 24 hours maybe?
No, did you march from the train to the boat, or?
Oh, well. Yeah, but it's not very far. the train goes right there, you know, pretty close.
Was there any parade or anything like that? Big fanfare or anything?
No, we marched from the Robinson Building to the CPR, and that's all there was to it. A lot of the fellows, their wives, if they were married, and their mothers and fathers were there, you know. But we didn't get on at the station. We went up the side where the Royal Alec used to be.
Mm-hmm.
There was a ramp walking up. You could walk up there to this the platform. That's where we got up.
Well, can you remember much about the boat trip going over to... You got on a boat, but you really didn't even know where the boat was going, I guess.
Oh, we didn't know where the boat was going. Mm-hmm. Well, we got on the boat, yeah, the Awatea.
Yeah. Do you remember much about the boat trip?
Well, sure.
Was it a good voyage you had over?
Fairly big boat. We slept in hammocks, you know, it was pretty crowded. But it was a long trip. I can't remember how long it was. 2 or 3 weeks, anyway.
Did you get seasick at all, do you remember?
Just a little bit. Yeah, not very much. I never did get seasick very much. Some of the fellows did.
Did you undergo any training of any kind during the boat?
Well, we had some lookout duty, you know, for submarines and whatnot.
Did you see anything?
No, luckily.
Yeah. Well, did you make any stops in the boat?
Sure. We stopped at Hawaii on the way. That was the only one. Oh, no, and we stopped at the Philippines. Yeah.
Did you get out? Did you get any leave of
no,
any
we
kind?
Didn't get off at all.
You mentioned that you found out on the boat that you were going to Hong Kong. I'm just wondering when you found out or how you found out.
We were told, I think it was sometime after we'd left Honolulu where we were going. They didn't want anyone to know where we were going, I guess, you see. For obvious reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember being told?
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
Did they come over a loudspeaker or anything?
No. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who told us right off, but I know we were told.
Do you remember much about Hong Kong when you arrived? What you expected of Hong Kong, the city, or China, what you thought of the Chinese people?
Well, I got around there quite a bit, you know. I thought it was quite a place. There was always something going on, you know, a lot of people. And used to go out quite a bit. Well, of course, we weren't stationed in Hong Kong, we were stationed in Kowloon on the mainland, you see.
Would you get much leave while you were there?
Well, we weren't there long enough to get leave, but we did go out at night, you know, after supper. You could go out for 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours.
I'm kind of interested in just what your impressions were of when you arrived, when the boat pulled in, if you can remember, when you went to the camp.
Well, we got off the boat, and there was part of a British regiment still there. They met us, and it was a pipe band, a Scottish band, you know. And we marched from the boat to camp, which was about maybe 5 or 6 miles, I guess. Maybe more, maybe less, no. And it was quite interesting. I kind of liked it, you know.
Did you march through the streets?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Were the people friendly? Were they ignoring you?
The people, no, they were didn't ignore us, but the people, the Chinese people were sort of, you couldn't make out what they were thinking, you know. I know every time you went out of camp, you always had a bunch of kids following you for gum and something like this, you know, and maybe 2 or 3 rickshaw drivers wanting you to take their rickshaw instead of the other guys, you know, stuff like this.
Do you remember when you entered the camp? Had anybody lived in that camp before? Was it a new camp or anything?
Oh, no, it was an old British camp. It's a British camp.
Was it a nice camp? Or, not a nice camp. Was it an efficient camp? Do you remember?
Did things work well
in the first few weeks that you were there?
Well, I didn't stay right in the camp as it was. I was in the Jubilee block. It was, I was separated from the other regiment here again, you see, because I was in, I transferred to the what the heck was it now? Well, it was a small, there was about 7 or 8 of us, and we were just training for map reading and stuff like this, you know. So mm-hmm. I didn't stay right in the camp as it was with the other fellows at all.
Was this like for making maps?
Well, for reading maps and enlarging them and whatnot, yeah. They call it the intelligence squad, but I don't know where they got that from. I don't even know how they chose me.
Well, was this all grenadiers that were in this fight?
Oh, yes.
Well, what kind of... You mentioned you were taking some map training. I was just wondering, did you go out and have a look around?
I hadn't had time. We were supposed to, but we hadn't got that far yet, you know, because we never even got to Hong Kong, to the island, till the night before they invaded, so we hadn't no chance.
Well, when you got to Hong Kong, did you know that you were going to be at war with the Japanese? Did you have any idea that time?
No, they.
Well, I was wondering if you...
The Japanese weren't very far; they were right on the border. But you know, they were fighting the Chinese at that time. But nobody seemed to believe that they were going to invade. But they did.
I was just wondering if anybody had any grave doubts about what was going to be happening in the future of the Japanese attack.
Well, it seems to me, although we weren't told, that they must have had an idea, because we moved out of camp, like I say, the one night or afternoon, and we went across the mainland. And we set up tents, and later on, when we were just going to go to bed, they came down around and told us to take the tents down again. And we stayed in any house we could, you know, in the basement. Now, which was a good idea, because they came over the next morning with Zeros, and if the tents had been there, they would have clobbered them, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Where were these tents again?
Where were they?
Yeah. You said you set tents up. I was just wondering where you set them up.
Oh, along the side of the road or someplace, anywhere, you know.
Well, this wasn't at the camp itself. This is out.
Oh, no, this was in Hong Kong.
Oh, this was in Hong Kong.
On the mainland, yeah. Okay. We had left the day before the camp and went across to the mainland, you see.
You don't know what any of the other men were doing during this time? I know that there were some recruits that had gone with the Grenadiers from Winnipeg. I've heard that some of them weren't very well trained. I was wondering if they were undergoing any training of any kind.
Well, they were starting, but they hadn't had any time for any training, you know, with the boat ride, and we got there, we weren't there too long before the war started, so some of them hardly knew how to fire a rifle, I suppose, you know.
You mentioned you were in the intelligence squad, map reading that. Did you have enough equipment to do that kind of work? Or had you hadn't done anything like that before, map reading?
I just transferred when I was on the boat. That's the first time.
And you didn't know that war was starting, I guess, until you saw the Japanese Zeros. Is that the first time that you were at war? Did anybody tell you that?
The first I knew about it was I was shaving under a tree outside, and these planes came over. And somebody told us that they had attacked Pearl Harbor. And that was the same time, you see. Then these planes came over, and I looked at them, and I figured, well, I don't know where they got them planes, because we didn't have any. And then they started dropping bombs. Right away, I kind of figured, well, this is it.
You knew that you were at war.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you
it happened so fast, you know.
You were in Hong Kong when you saw this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, did you stay in Hong Kong during the battle, or did...
During, oh yeah.
Did you, I was just wondering, your squad stay together throughout the battle, or?
No, I didn't see them, too many of them after that. Sometimes I was some British soldiers, sometimes I was with a couple of Chinese soldiers, all mixed up, you know.
I wonder if you could tell me much of what happened from the time the war started until the surrender. Do you remember much of your whereabouts and the things that you were doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was at...
get a map.
Wan Chai Gap.
That's where you were when the war broke out?
Yeah, that's where I was. Wan Chai Gap, right here. That's
all right. Now, did you stay there for a couple days, or?
Or there, around there, and back and forth. That's where the colonel was stationed too, you see. That's why I was there, and we used to go up Mount Cameron, and the Japs were on the other side. It was pretty hectic there at times. And there's Mount Cameron there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed up there for 2 or 3 days, right on the top there with a machine gun, till the machine gun broke and we couldn't find a replacement for it.
I was wondering, the day the war broke out, do you remember what you did that day, or the second day? Did the squad stay together, or were you transferred? I was wondering who you were taking orders from.
Oh, no, I stayed around there most of the time, yeah.
Around the headquarters?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But sometimes you'd have to go out and, like I say, up to Mount Cameron when they were attacking Mount Cameron, and another time when the brigadier was surrounded much farther away than that, and I went there, but he had been killed in the meantime. Quite a bit of action there. That's when we were getting pretty well surrounded, you see.
Do you remember much of what happened during the days between the war started and the Japanese landed on the island? Did you stay on the island the whole time?
You had to. There was no place else to go. The Japanese had the mainland. The other side, there was a big Japanese warship.
Oh, goodness.
So they were shelling us from there, and they had their artillery on the mainland, and they were shelling us from there. And the planes were coming over in the day, and so it kept you pretty busy, and you got so darn tired you didn't give a damn anyway, whether you...
Yeah. Were you well dug in? Was it a pretty safe place?
Oh, there was no place to dig in, no. Mm-hmm. Just hills and mountains, you know.
But I wonder if you could describe what the headquarters was like. Was it bunkers, or was it a house? Or?
Well, look. There was really no headquarters. There was one kind of a bunker, you might call it. And it was all sandbagged up and everything. That was for our telephones and whatnot, you know. And the colonel and his officers were in there. And that was about the only thing there. And then the rest we slept in these houses. There was big houses around there, you know, slept in the basements and whatnot, you know.
Were there many of you at the headquarters itself?
Well, there was only not too many, no. One company, I guess. There wasn't enough of us we were spread out too much, you know. There was just a few here and a few there, you know, all over the island, you see.
Were you armed at this time? Did you have a gun or a machine gun, or is there anything with the headquarters?
Well, I had a rifle and a Tommy gun sometimes, yeah. And then there was the odd machine gun set up here and there, you see. But a Tommy gun is only good for closing range, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering about the orders that from the time the war started. You were at headquarters, and you must have been there where there were a lot of orders given in the functioning of, I guess, the plan or whatever it was. I was wondering if the orders were going out in any order at all, or whether communication was breaking down, or just exactly what was happening.
Well, the communications weren't too good because everything was so disorganized, you know. So you really didn't know half the time what was going on.
Was it disorganized because the Japanese were attacking? And
Yeah. It wasn't... we hadn't had a chance to set up anything really, and we didn't have enough men anyway, you know. And of course, the ship that was trailing us, bringing our equipment, never did arrive. The war had started, and they sent that stuff to Australia, you see. Our trucks and everything. In fact, we were using civilian trucks, and the mountain roads were so narrow that they could hardly navigate, you know.
Were you driving a truck
now? No, not then, no. No.
The food and water, did you ever have any trouble getting food and water, or supplies of any kind up to headquarters? I was wondering if you knew where the food and the water was coming from at that time.
We got a tin of meat and vegetable or something like that given to us every once in a while, you know, some bully beef or something like that, but there was no real place to eat, you know. And water, it was getting pretty hard to get. In fact, there was one time there that I was being fired on with a machine gun, and I was running, and I'm telling you, I was running, my tongue was hanging out, and I was so thirsty. And then they sent tea up to us one time at Mount Cameron the machine gun was dry, and we had to use it for that, because you had to use water in to cool them, you see. The Vickers, yeah.
And you had to put the tea in the machine.
Yes, I was thirsty, really thirsty.
Were you getting any sleep at all during the
very hour? Little, very little. It was so, you know, you go to lay down, and these 9.2 guns would start firing, and then they'd bring a bunch of artillery and put it in the yard where this house was, you know, and they'd start firing all night. Well, every time they went off, you just jumped up like that, you know. Well, I got so sleepy sometimes. I could sleep in the rain and just cover my head over with a greatcoat or something and go to sleep, you know.
Was it cold and rainy, do you remember?
It was chilly and damp, yeah.
Well, do you remember if you were on any kind of a shift, would you...
There was no such thing, no. You were a 24-hour shift. You know what I mean?
Just go on.
Yeah, yeah. Grab us a nap wherever you could, that's all. On the side of the road or in anywhere.
What, did you move around much from the headquarters? Did you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
You mentioned that you'd gone up this way somewhere.
Up to Mount Cameron.
Oh, to Mount Cameron.
Yeah. Is it there?
Yeah. Here it is. Here.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go up with other people? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Was it to the Japanese? Or?
To try to keep them from getting over to, you know, advancing. Yeah. And, of course, you'd go up, maybe two or three of you together, and quite a ways farther on there'd be two or three more, but it was spread out so far because you didn't have enough men, you know.
This would this be a company, the whole company that would go? Or?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, pretty well, yeah.
No, this would, I guess this would be in the latter, would this be the latter days of the war, or the battle?
That was pretty well near the, about maybe four or five days after it started. It didn't last that long, you see.
Do you ever remember the Japanese asking for surrender?
No.
Do you remember when the surrender came?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I do. I was a little farther back with a British officer.
Back? Where was that?
Well, wasn't too far back.
Maybe it would be better on this side.
In the same district, anyway.
Hello, camera.
Well, it was just maybe a mile down the road from Mount Wan Chai Gap, and there was a big house there, and I was there, and I'd stayed up all night watching some prisoners we had. They were Chinese prisoners, and it was raining, of course. It always has to be raining. So I laid down on the sidewalk there and I slept for a while. And I woke up and they were still there. Then I got up and the British officer said, you know, everybody for himself pretty well, you know. But what are you going to do? So I started carrying sandbags up to the second floor because we had a machine gun up there and we're going to make a last stand. And I carried a bunch of sandbags in, and then the colonel came along and told me the war was over. Because I had a kind of funny sense of humor. And I said, what do you mean the war's over after me carrying all these sandbags up? He couldn't see the humor in it, so. So he told me it that the governor had given up the island and we had to go to the peak. That's where we were supposed to go. So we broke all our rifles and threw all the, you know, did all the damage we could, and then went up there, and that was it.
You mentioned that there were some Chinese prisoners. Do you remember why they were being held prisoner?
Not really. I think they just held them because of the fact that they were there and they shouldn't have been there, and they didn't know why they were there, you know.
Did you have any idea what the Japanese, what was going to be like when you surrendered to the Japanese? Did you know what they were going to do to prisoners?
No, I didn't, and that was quite a worry because you had no idea.
Were you involved in any of the fighting, the actual fighting? You said you'd gone up to Mount Cameron to stop the Japanese. I was just wondering if you were involved in any of the fighting at all.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But you weren't right into it. You weren't, the Japanese weren't right there when you surrendered.
No, it was.
Thankfully. Yeah.
No, I hadn't. No, they weren't there when I surrendered. I didn't surrender, yeah. If you get what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand. Yeah. Well, you remember what happened after the surrender? After you.
Well, we went up to the peak there, and there were all these Japanese soldiers sitting at the side of the road resting, and we just walked past them. They never said nothing, and we stayed up there overnight, and we got some hardtack and some bully beef, and I thought that was the best meal I'd ever had because I hadn't had nothing for so long. And so then I think the next day they took us on the ferry across the mainland, and we walked from there to the prison camp, and that's when we went in.
You mentioned that you were up at headquarters. I was wondering what kind of a view that you could get from there. Can you see much of the island?
When I was on Mount Cameron there, yeah, you could see a plane dive bombing a small gunboat, and on the other side you could see the artillery, and you could see things going on all over, you know.
The hardtack and the food that you had after you surrendered, did the Japanese give that to you?
Well, that was our own
stores,
yeah.
Did you get a drink of water then?
They brought us a tanker full of water, but it was a gasoline truck, and it tasted gasoline. You couldn't drink it anyway. And it was hard. You were scared to drink the water, the diseases and stuff that might be in it, you know.
Do you remember if you were inoculated or vaccinated for any of the diseases?
Before we went over?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, anyway, you were now prisoners of war, and did you remain on the island, or were you taken over to the mainland?
No, I said we got on a ferry and went across to the mainland.
The day after the surrender?
A day or two days. Now, I can't remember exactly. Yeah.
Were there many of you at that time?
Oh, yes, quite a few. Mm-hmm.
Had you lost any close friends in the fighting?
Yeah, sure, lost them. Quite a few.
You came to the mainland by ferry?
Yeah.
Did you walk back through the streets?
Yeah, and it was a long walk.
Were you wounded at all?
No, I wasn't, no.
Do you remember what went on when you got back to the camp? What transpired? Did you just arrive at the camp and look for a bunk to sleep? Or?
Yeah, it was our own barracks. But all the beds had been taken out. There was just the cement floors. And luckily, I picked up a couple of old blankets before I went in there, because I had them two blankets with me the whole time I was a prisoner. And it was pretty hard sleeping on them cement floors, you know, till eventually I made a kind of a bunk out of some sacks and stuff, you know, that I picked up. And it was very hard on the floor, sleeping on the floor. Your hips got all black and blue.
Were you able to take any food in with you?
No. The food situation was very bad at first, because I remember after a while, you'd sit down or you'd get up and you'd just start, your head would start spinning, you know, until you hung on to something and got organized.
Was this because there wasn't enough food? Or?
Oh, that was because you were
malnutrition.
Yeah.
Was there any order in the camp at all? Was there anyone who would give orders besides the Japanese? Any leadership of any kind?
Not too much, no. Did what you wanted, mostly.
How about during the battle, do you remember if there was much leadership at that time?
Well, yeah, I'd say there was.
Well, did you do any work when you were, after you were taken prisoner?
Oh, well, I was sent to Japan and I worked in the shipyards.
How about in Kowloon or Hong
Kong? No, I didn't. Well, I worked the not for the Japanese, but two of the cooks wanted me to go in cooking, you know. I never cooked in my life, but they came after me two or three times, and then I finally went.
These are Whippy Grenadier cooks?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Friends of mine, good friends of mine. So at that time I was, you know, like pretty weak, and I didn't care, so I didn't want to go, but I went, and I was still cooking when I got over to Japan. Cooking rice, I got her down where it was pretty dry, you know, the rice. But we were just cooking with at the beginning with about six oil drums, you know, and put the rice in that. Well, it was just watery rice, that's all.
6 oil drums, yeah.
On open fires outside.
Big, big.
Yeah, you know, in an oil, 45-gallon drum.
You just take the top off it?
Yeah, yeah.
And it would be full of...
Yeah.
Fill it up with...
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were getting the food and what kind of food that you were getting? Did you order the food or was it brought to you?
It was brought in, yeah, and rationed by the Japanese. Well, we had to measure everything and weigh it for the day, you know, for so many men, you see.
Did you have any say in what kind of food was coming or was it just brought?
Just brought, yeah. You just took what you got.
And was it mostly rice? Were there other things included?
There was some vegetables. Let's take it in Japan.
Okay.
We got we made soup there too. It was daikon tops. We cut it up and made soup out of it. That's like a big radish. That's the tops. And sometimes even use the daikons. And sometimes they'd send in cucumbers, and we had cucumber soup. And no salt or anything in it, you know, very flat. Some soy sauce. And rice, and sometimes potatoes. But it was rationed, right, you know.
It was very strict.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, the more men that were sick and couldn't go to work, their rations were cut so that everybody suffered because we didn't give them just half of rations. I mean, it was shared up with everybody, you see.
No. I was wondering if you could tell me much how you cook the rice. Did you get the rice? Would it be in sacks? Or do you remember how?
Yeah, it came, well, of course. It came in straw sacks. And I used to put it in a tub of water and wash it with a sort of a couple of sticks, you know, and then drain the water off it. And then I had the water measured, eventually got it measured with a stick, and the rice weighed so that we got the same amount of rice in this big pot every time, you see, and it came out just right. But then that wasn't drums, that was regular soys that they used in Japan for cooking big lots of rice for armies and whatnot, I guess.
When you went to Japan, which camp did you go to? Was there more than one, or was there just one camp?
Oh, no, there was lots of them. The one I went to was somewhere between Tokyo and Yokohama.
Was there a name or a number or anything, do you remember?
There was. Now, it could have been 3D. I'm not sure. There was one of them that I was in that was called 3D. Yeah.
Did you go with many other people from Kowloon, Shamshapo?
Oh, yes, there was quite a few.
Yeah. Do you remember how you went?
Yeah, on the... the name of the boat... Tatuta Maru.
Tatuta Maru.
Yeah.
And what kind of a boat was it?
It was a freighter. Yeah, freighter.
Were the British prisoners going too, an Indian prisoner, or just?
We had Indian prisoners in the camp in China, but they didn't go with us. There was. Some British went with us. And then there was some Americans came for that were in that other island, the first one they started in, where MacArthur was. Yeah, I can't think. I mentioned it before, you know, we'd stop there.
Guam?
No, no.
No, that. You mentioned you stopped in Honolulu and.
Yeah, and that's the one. And Philippines. Yeah, the Philippines. And some of these guys had been in the Philippines death march, remember? That you heard about? You may have heard about. The Americans. Yeah.
Well, did you arrive in camp? Was there anyone in camp in Japan?
No, there was nobody in it. Not when we arrived, no.
Do you remember about how many would go or arrive? You went on a boat to Japan, and then how did
then
you
we got on a train. And
what kind of a train was that? Was
it
a passenger
train?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you handcuffed or tied up?
No, no, but we had enough guards. And besides, what's the point in it? Where are you going to go on an island like that?
Yeah. And was the camp similar to the one in...
Oh, no, no. It had big bamboo fence, like bamboo poles, and sharpened at the top. It was about as high, the fence was about as tall as this ceiling. And there was two huts in it, two great long huts. And they had platforms, like a center aisle, and platforms on each side for you to sleep on. And that's where we stayed for about 2 years in there. And I remember going down that road. It was raining and it was muddy, and I thought, you know, my morale was very low. And I looked at that camp and it was raining, and I thought, what the heck? How are you going to stay in here, you know? So I stayed in there for about 2 years. And I could tell you some funny things about being in there too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like when I was in the kitchen, this Japanese officer or sergeant used to take me to the hospital. There was a company hospital. The shipyards had their own hospital, and one of our fellows had been up a pole and he got electrocuted and broke his hip. And they had him in this company hospital, but they wouldn't feed him. See. So I used to have to take his rice in the evening for to do him the next day, all day, in a couple of little wooden buckets. And this here Japanese sergeant used to get on this here, like I rode the bicycle, and there was a two-wheel trailer, and he sat on there, and I pulled him, and he's got this long sword. And he's got a big beard like this, you know. And he's a real mean one. So we go to the hospital, and I leave the rice, and this Japanese soldier, sergeant says, I got to go home alone, because he's going out. He'd been drinking. So I can't go home alone. So he pulls out his sword. Oh, yeah, I guess I can. So I go back to camp, and all the Japanese guard there, oh, what an uproar. And they wouldn't let me in then. They were going to hold me. So finally they got it straightened out and I got in.
They wouldn't let you in because you came back in your own.
Because he wasn't there.
Yeah.
They were crazy.
You were the first people to arrive in that camp. Did you take anything that was with you from the other camp? You mentioned you had a couple blankets.
I took my same still. I took the same blankets with me. Yeah.
Did you take anything else? Did you have much else?
No, no. Pair of shoes, old boots maybe, and a pair of socks, and a couple of blankets, and that was about it. Yeah.
Do you remember when you left? What year this would be, or the date that you would leave?
No. From China?
Yeah.
Well, approximately 2 years after we were. Yeah.
Had you been sick at all when you were in China?
I wasn't sick in China. Oh, I had dengue fever. It was kind of like a malaria fever, you know, but only for about a week. But that's all I had there. But then I lost my job in the kitchen in Japan because I got yellow jaundice, yellow fever, and then I got the dysentery at the same time, and so they wouldn't let me go back in the kitchen after I got out of there. So I had to go and work in the shipyards then.
Did most of the men in the camp work in the shipyards? Was it strictly shipyard, or was there other work involved?
Yeah, yeah. That's what everybody did.
Do you remember, how big would the camp be?
The shipyards?
Yeah, or the camp, the number of
men. Oh, our camp, the camp.
Yeah, and how big would the shipyard be?
Well, the camp could hold about 300 or 400 people, I guess. The shipyards was huge. They had about 4 or 5 slips, you know, working on ships at the same time. Of course, there's lots of Japanese, and there was Koreans working there, and everybody.
You worked in the shipyard after you lost your job in the kitchen?
Yeah, I worked on a smelter.
And what kind of a job was that? With the
well, that's ball? Making cast iron, breaking pig iron and putting it in the furnace, and then pour the molten cast into molds, you see, to make different molds for motors and whatnot, you know, for the ships.
Would you go to work early? Would you work every day, or would you get a day off? Or?
You get the odd day off once in a while to clean the camp up.
Was there a hospital at all at the camp? Were there any medical?
Well, they had a segregated place. It wasn't a hospital, just part of the camp, but where the guys that were real sick, you know, that couldn't work at all, they stayed in there, you see.
You said that you'd had yellow jaundice and then dysentery.
Yeah.
Did you get any treatment at all for that? Was there a doctor of any kind of illness?
We had a doctor, but he didn't have any medicine. No.
Was he an American doctor?
No, he was one of our own doctors. But he had no medicine.
So he couldn't do very much?
No. You just hope for the best.
Do you remember the name of the Japanese commandant at the camp? Japan?
No, I can't. Not now. I'd know it if I heard it, but I can't. No, I can't.
Were any of the other people that were in the camp with you or maybe still around today in Winnipeg?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
I was wondering if you would remember any names.
Ralph Denton.
Denton. Which is when I might be talking to them.
Yeah, you might, yeah. Well, I'd have to think that.
You worked in you lost your job in the kitchen, you worked in the shipyard.
Yeah.
Then the smelter?
Well, no,
this is
that
part
was
of the same thing.
It's
yeah.
Part of the same deal, yeah.
Do you remember about how long you worked at that job?
I guess about a year, maybe.
Then what did you do after that? Were you transferred to another camp? Or?
Yeah, we went up north, farther up north to Sendai in the coal mine.
Was the whole camp transferred or just...
Everybody left, but not all to the same place. They had to leave because the whole thing, you know, the whole area was bombed out and all the houses were burnt and the shipyard was pretty well shot by then, you see.
The Americans?
Yeah. The B-29s come over then and really clobbered it.
Did they come over very often?
Oh, yeah, quite a few times, yeah. This one time they came over, they went around all night, and this is when they burnt up everything. The people were yelling and screaming, and they were dropping incendiary bombs, you know. And all them houses, they just went up like matchsticks, you know.
Did they ever hit the prison camp?
No, they missed it. Hmm. Well, they lost a lot of planes that night, too.
Did you know what was happening? Were you ever getting any information from the outside? Did you get any parcels or letters? Did you know how the war was going, whether the Japanese were winning or losing? Or?
Well, we used to get a paper, Mainichi, that was an English-speaking Japanese paper, but they were winning everything in that paper, so I don't know. You know, we didn't really get any information. The only information we got from them was that they were taking everything over all the time, you know. But once they started coming over and bombing like that, I kind of, well, you could pretty well figure, you know, that...
Do you remember when the first plane came over? Did any bombing?
Oh, well, yes, I remember a couple of small planes come over. They weren't the big ones, but they were off aircraft carriers. They must have been, because they couldn't come that far otherwise. But they didn't do any damage. They just, you know, dived on some of the ships and sprayed them a bit with machine guns, but made them kind of think, I guess.
Would everybody sort of cheer them on when this was happening?
No, because, well, you did inside, but you didn't let on too much, you know, because they're very funny. They could turn on you fast, you see.
Do you remember when the Japanese, or when the Americans were bombing the city, were the Japanese got any tougher, where the treatment became any harsher? And what kind of treatment were you getting from the Japanese at this time?
Well, they were getting pretty edgy, yeah, but they didn't really take too much out on us, no.
Did you ever get punished or beaten up badly?
Well, I got, a couple of times I got caught smoking at the shipyards, and I lost my dinner. I had to stand to attention during the dinner hour, and he'd hit me a couple of times on the face. But it didn't hurt me, but it hurt me that I didn't get nothing to eat. That's the only thing, you know. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't smoke on the...
Well, not when we weren't supposed to, when we were working, you see. In fact, we didn't have any cigarettes, but I'd picked up a couple of butts and re-rolled them in paper, you see. So, and I didn't figure this guard was going to come up the stairs to where the smelter was, and he sneaked up behind us and caught us.
When you went to the other camp, I forget, what kind of work was it you were doing in the other camp?
From there?
Yeah.
Up to the Sendai, we went in the coal mines. Yeah.
And what kind of work were you doing there?
I was on a pneumatic drill most of the time.
Were there other Japanese people in the mines working also, or was it just prisoners of war?
With just prisoners of war and the Japanese bosses. But they weren't doing any work. Just the Japanese bosses. The rest were all prisoners of war.
Was this tougher work than you had been doing?
Oh, I think so, yeah, yeah. And it was about 107 degrees above down there. It was hot. Sulfur water coming out of the ground, you know.
Have you ever been in a mine before?
No, and I'll never go in another one.
I was wondering if you can remember when you first went into it.
I can remember when I first went into it, and I can remember when I first come out, and last time I come out too. I'll never forget that. That was terrible down there. Dark, and you had the mine lights, you know, but during the course of the day or the evening, the batteries would run down and you couldn't see nothing. And it was hot. Then you come upstairs and it was cold. And then you went back to camp and pretty near froze to death. Because it was up in the, more or less up in the mountains, you know, it was cold up there. Cold and damp.
Were conditions any, I guess they would be worse at this other camp, would they? Or would...
They were worse. The food was less, yeah.
How long did you stay at this camp before the war ended, do you know?
Well, just about 6 months, maybe.
Yeah. And that 6 months you worked in the mine?
Yeah, all the time, yeah.
Every day?
Every day, yeah.
Was that area ever bombed by the Americans?
No. There was nothing there to bomb.
Do you remember when the war was over? Do you remember how you found out that the war was over?
Well, yes, I think so. we still went to work after the war was over, but they didn't tell us, you see. But everybody was, all the Japanese foremen and everything were sitting around talking, and they weren't after us, so we didn't work. And I had a kind of hunch there was something going on, because I seen so many planes going over a couple of nights before that, you know. There must have been hundreds of them. And then one day the camp commandant had a meeting, and we all went out, and he told us what had happened about this terrible bomb that they dropped, you see. So then he told us he had to, you know.
Was there much of a period of time between when he told you? What did you do then? Did you wouldn't work, I guess, but
no.
Were conditions any better? Did you get any more food? Or?
I think we got less for a while, because the trains weren't running. There was no supplies or anything, you see, coming in. I guess the railways were bombed and everything, you see. So it got pretty hard for a while, till the Americans found our camp, and then they started dropping supplies by parachute.
Did anyone come to any Americans come to the camp, or was it just
no,
just airplanes?
Yeah.
Do you remember when they started dropping supplies and what they dropped?
Yeah, they dropped canned peaches. They had the oil drums fastened to these parachutes, I think, and all kinds of vitamin pills and cigarettes and clothes and boots and all, anything. In fact, they could have wiped out Japan by dropping all these parachutes on them.
Those would be good days.
Yeah.
Well, did you stay at camp for a long time after you got your supplies?
We were there probably a couple of weeks. And we finally took a train, I guess, after they got the railways finished, fixed up, and went to Tokyo.
And what happened in Tokyo? What'd you do there?
Well, then the Americans were there, and they had a place set up for us to get new clothes and showers. And then I went onto one of the big battleships, stayed on that for a couple of days.
Were you sick at this time?
I wasn't what you call sick, no. Just
very weak?
Kind of weak, yeah.
Oh, malnutrition.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be getting good food by this time.
Yeah, by then we were starting to, but I ate so many darn canned peaches that I got a sore mouth. I got ulcers all over my mouth. I couldn't eat. And then I got some bacon and eggs on this ship, which I'd looked forward to, and I couldn't eat them because my mouth was so sore.
Because of the ulcers
in
the mouth? Yeah.
From the acid, never had any fruit for so long.
You went on an American battleship? Is that how you came back?
No, I flew back.
Well, you flew back?
Yeah. I went on an American battleship and stayed, just slept on there and ate on there for a couple of days.
Can I ask what your feelings were towards the Americans at that time, when you were liberated?
Well, I thought they were pretty good. I thought that, you know, how you would feel. Eh?
Yeah. And towards the Japanese?
Well,
I wonder how you feel about them now, after what you...
Now I don't mind. I don't think nothing of it.
At that time?
At that time, I didn't feel too good about it. The one boss that I had in the mine, in fact, I looked for him for about 3 days, but I couldn't find him, and I was going to get him if I could, but I don't know if I'd have got him, would I have done anything anyway, you know.
Do you know if he was ever captured, or what happened to him?
If he was captured? No, I don't think so. He just, nothing, he wasn't even a soldier, he was just a mine boss, that's all.
Hmm. You flew back to, from where to where? From Tokyo to?
To Guam, stayed there for about a week, I guess. And then to Honolulu. And then to San Francisco.
And then?
And I came by train to Vancouver. From Vancouver to Winnipeg.
Did you stay in Vancouver? Or did you
come? Yeah, I stayed there for a while too. Mm-hmm.
Were you getting any medical treatment this time? Or
we got checked over pretty good by the Americans too, even in Guam. And mm-hmm. In fact, every place I went, I got a tooth pulled.
When you came back, can I ask what you did then?
In what way?
Did you work when you got back? Were you able to work?
Well, I didn't work for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then I got a job. They sent me to the National Cartage, and I got a job there, hauling freight. A good, easy job.
I wonder if the time you spent in prison has hindered you in any way from working.
Well, I guess it could have, in one way, that you seem to get tired so fast, you know, and you haven't got the same energy that you should have.
Pensions and medical treatment, do you feel that you've been well treated by the Canadian government?
I'm not complaining. I go to Deer Lodge anytime I want. Are you going to have another beer?
They didn't have that one.
Didn't you?
One last question. Can I ask what your feelings are about war?
Well,
because you've sure been through it.
At that time, I thought it was necessary, and I still do. Otherwise, I don't think we'd have as much freedom as we've got here today. I don't know what your opinion is on that.
Likely doesn't differ much. I was just wondering how you felt, because you've been through war, you've seen it, and I really never have.
The way I look at it, if we had sat back and just let them take it over, well, we wouldn't have been as well off as we are today. None of us.
Do you have anything else to add to experiences, things that happened to you?
I don't think so.
Because, you know, we've only been talking in a very short time about
a
period of 4 years in your life.
Yeah.
There's so many things that happened. I think not.
I think there were... You know,
is there any humorous incidents or stories to tell?
Oh, I guess a lot of them. But not too many in prison camp. No. Tell you about some of the wild times I had in Jamaica.
Yeah, I've heard some of those.
In fact, I think it would have killed us faster there.